And thank you, Brother Mark and choir. If you have your Bible, we're going to take a break from Isaiah today and move a little toward the front of your Bible to the book of Psalms, Psalms the 84th chapter. Psalms chapter 84. And just to make it easy, we're going to begin in the beginning. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallows a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good things will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word. I pray, Father, that you would burn it in our hearts. I pray that we would be changed as a result of what we hear. Father, draw us close to Jesus. Teach us how to magnify your name. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are in a day with a lot of education, a lot of opportunities for an education. If you want an education, you know where to go. You got to go to school, and that's the place you head. We're in a place, in a time, when people are trying to find out what to eat and what not to eat. If you want nourishment, if you want to be able to build your body, then you're going to have to go to eat. Now, if you want to get stronger, if you want to build those muscles, if you want to find yourself stronger day by day, then you're going to have to go where you can gain strength, and so you may go to the gym. And if you like having the lights on, if you like living with air conditioning, if you like knowing that everything's going to work good in your house, then you have to pay your bills. And if you are going to pay your bills, my friend, you got to go to work. So it just kind of makes sense. If you want to serve God, if you want to get close to God, if you want to lift up God, if you want to be where God wants you to be, you're going to go to church. This is National Back to Church Sunday. It started in 2009. Most people think it started after COVID. Well, it started actually before COVID. It became part of our world that we understood we had to get people back into God's house. There was a day when almost everybody went to church. There was a day when you couldn't go and buy groceries on Sunday, but you could go to church. You couldn't stop at a gas station, but you could fill up at God's house. There was that day, and churches filled across America. There was a day when the White House called for the people of the United States to get out of their houses and to get into the churches. Now, that was the day of I Like Ike, President Eisenhower. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, he was a president a while back. And a smart one, because he came to Jesus while he was president. And when he came to Jesus, he knew you had to get to God's house. And he went to church every single Sunday. You may not know this. You may know that Queen Elizabeth went to church regularly, and that's good to know. But would you know that that King Charles goes to church each and every Sunday? All the time. Even in midweek, he goes to church. He has an understanding that if he's going to rule, he needs God ruling him. Now, I'm not saying he always does it right, but that's something he has right. In 2019, pandemic hit. 2020, it dominated. And God gave us a tool. Actually, God began, he put it in our minds before the pandemic hit to start streaming our messages. And we actually had a contract to put in cameras prior to COVID hitting. Well, what was that? God was getting us ready. And we didn't stop here very long, but we had to stop for a little while. But we kept the message going out because of the ability to stream it on the internet. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful God gave us that opportunity. But I got to tell you, it's not the same. Many of you have expressed to me during that time, you just couldn't wait to get back in the church. Well, that's kind of a feeling everybody should have when they get out of church. But you know, if you get out of church for a little while, it doesn't seem so bad. And you hit the snooze button instead of getting up. And, you know, you don't lay out your clothes the day before. You're kind of planning ahead of time that church isn't going to be in your life. Well, we just may stream it today. I'm thankful we can stream our services. I really am. We've touched people around the world streaming our services. You may not be aware of that. We have people that used to be part of our church that have gone all over the world. And so we regularly hear from people in Texas, Kansas, Colorado, North and South Carolina, Germany, and Dubai that watch our services week by week. And most of those watch our services, but they also go to their services because they know there's something more they need. We now encourage people who've been away to come back. And you know, we do tell you, if you're going to go away, if you got a vacation, if you're in a sport and you're away because of travel ball, you can tune in and you can worship on the road with us. And you need to do that. But it's not the same. God's people singing, God's people praising, God's people lifting up the Lord together, I believe is what God has intended. Now, we do have some churches, church here locally, that has live music, and the music is very, very together and very with it and very good. And then they stream in the message, and that works for them. But I got to tell you, it just doesn't really do it for me. There is something different about having a real person called by God present in the room with you sharing God's word. We need people back in church. We need everybody in church. If they are lost, we desperately need them to come to church and find Jesus. If they are saved, then where else should they be on any given worship day? We need to be in worship. We have churches that worship on different days. You know, you can lift up Jesus any day. And you need to be in worship. Less than 1/4 of the population of Columbus, Georgia attends a worship service. Less than 1/4. A very small, small group. Could that be why in Atlanta, people talk about Columbus, but they don't say Columbus, they say Killumbus. Killumbus. Because of the number of murders we have on our streets here in Columbus, Georgia. Could that be why crime is high? Could that be why it is difficult in some places to walk the streets in the daytime, much less at night in Columbus, Georgia? Listen, when people get in God's house, crime goes down. And when people get in God's house, divorce goes down. And when people get in God's house, love goes up. It is just good for everyone when people get in God's house. And that becomes a regular part of their life. Lost people, well, lost people are not in church. Well, they're lost. They're not in church. They don't know the importance. They don't come. We want lost people coming to God's house. We do. We want everybody coming. The thing that concerns me even greater is that we have people that say they know Jesus that never show up. They are never in the house of God. I saw some people post. Somebody sent me their post. Now, I'm not really up on social media, and that should not surprise you greatly, but I am surrounded by people who are really up on social media. And so they share with me. And so I've seen some posts of some people that used to be Sunday by Sunday members, attenders, worshipers for the Lord. And those posts said, you know, we've decided church is just not important. Now, you may not say that, but if it's not a regular Sunday by Sunday, week by week activity for you, that is exactly what your life has shown. I want to be clear. God thinks church is important. When your children grow up out of church and your grandchildren do not even know the name of Jesus, my friend, it will be too late for you to get your family in church. It is time to realize the importance of God's house on a regular basis in your life. Now, Psalms 84 was not written by David. We always think David wrote all the Psalms. Well, he didn't. And some of them were written by the sons of Korah. Psalms 84 was written by the sons of Korah. Now, you probably are not really up on Korah. Korah was with Moses in the wilderness. Korah got bent out of shape. Korah got bent out of shape because he wasn't picked to be where Moses was. He got bent out of shape because he wasn't given what he thought was a showy position. And so he got mad at Moses, and he got mad at Aaron, and he came against them. And so I like Moses. Moses is a great guy. Read what Moses has written. That came from God. Read about Moses. He's an amazing guy. Not perfect by any means. But this is what Moses did. He said, okay, you want to be the leader. You think that you should lead instead of me. God chose me, but maybe God would choose you instead. Let's do this. Tomorrow, you and your guys, you show up with your incense, and I'll show up. And we'll let God choose between us. Well, that sounds fair, doesn't it? The next day, well, Moses is going to church. Korah shows up. He's in his finest. He has his little thing of incense. He is good. He has his followers, 250. That's pretty good. Now, so he's got kind of a small church right already with him. God's going to choose between them. How does God choose? Oh, the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and his buddies. Oh, not all of them. He didn't. There was about 200 or more that didn't get swallowed up. Fire came down and burnt them. God made his choice. Korah never complained again. They stood against Moses. They stood against God. And they were judged as a result. And so I said this was written by the sons of Korah. The sons of Korah didn't really follow Korah, and God kept them back, and so they were in that punishment. And they realized how important it was to be in church. They realized how wonderful it was just to be able to be at the doors of the church. And so they write this psalm. And they tell us that church brings passion. In Psalms 84, verse 2, my soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. This is a picture of a child of God with passion for God and for God's house. And in case you're not aware, God's house is your local church. Now, I know Jesus is in the heart of every believer. But when God speaks of his house, he's speaking of the local church. In truth, and I want to be truthful, in truth, you can come to Jesus and not be in church. You can. In fact, I would imagine many of you in this room made your decision to come to Jesus and you weren't in the church at the time. That's okay. God is willing to reach out to anyone, anytime, as long as they will say yes to him. And we need to be getting the word of God to everybody all the time so that they might say yes to him. But after somebody says yes to him, they need to show up in church. You know, it is widely known. People kind of know in their heart, church is where I should be. Maybe I should go. Maybe I should be there, but they're not there. Becky and I ate out one night this week, and we were talking to the server. The server told us he was a Christian, but he had gotten out of church, but he was looking for a church. And we said, oh, well, we just happen to have a church for you. And before I could quote it to him, he quoted it to me. Hebrews 10:25, he said, I love that verse. It says, do not forsake the churching of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That came from a guy that was out of church that knew he needed to be in church. And he's working this Sunday, but I truly believe this young man is seeking God and seeking God's desires. I think he'll be back in church. Jesus taught the church was important. Some people say the church is boring, the church is dull, the church is not relevant. Now, I see some of you looking at others of you. If that was you that said that, I'm not on your case today. Did you know the church of Jesus' day was out of touch with man and out of touch with God? And yet, if you read of Jesus, you will find on every possible occasion he was going to his local church. He had a passion for it because he had a passion for it because he had a passion for God the Father. And that passion drove him to be in God's house. In God's house is where people and God are brought together. And Jesus had a passion for that happening. Now, in my life, I have found myself doing some things that I didn't want to do. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. But these things came with marriage. And so I found myself going to music events. I found myself watching, Hallmark movies. I found myself attending flower shows. I am allergic to every single one of them. I've been to art museums. It all came with marriage. But now, to be fair, Becky found herself doing some things she didn't want to do. She's attended ball games. She's watched action and sci-fi movies. She's watched superhero movies. I am sure she has done countless other things she didn't particularly care for. It came with marriage. It's not that we had a passion for these things. It's that we had a passion for each other. And that drove us to do a lot of things. And here's the confession. We found out we actually liked some of those things. Now, I'm not going to go through which ones, but we actually found out that it was okay. And it came out of our passion for each other. Don't you think a person who comes to Jesus as their Savior should have a passion for the one who came for them, died on the cross for them, was buried for them, and rose for them, and drives us to church? Shouldn't we have a passion to be where He wants us to be? Oh, we sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me." If I love Him, I'm going to be where He would want me to be, and that is in the church. Now, my family knew that. I started going to church, like some of you, 9 months before I was born. Every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday, I was in church. Now, my father was a firefighter, and if you are a firefighter or you are on a regular firefighter call of duty, that means that, you know, you're off 2 days, you work the third, you know, you do a 24-hour thing, and so you're gone a day. And if those days fell on the days that was a church day, you know where we were? We were in church. My family knew that's where we should be. It's kind of funny today. I hear parents sometimes saying, "Well, I don't want to make my children go to church. I don't want to turn them against it." It's very selective. We don't say that about other things. We don't say, "Well, I don't want to make my child go to school. I don't want to turn them against it. I don't want to make my child take a bath. I don't want to turn them against it." I've been around some middle school kids. Maybe you need to watch that, what you've turned them against. I don't know. Not all, just a few. There may have been a time that you made your child eat, and you weren't afraid at all of turning them against it. I'm telling you, what goes for these things goes for church. Listen, you do what is right for your children, and part of that is leading them to God's house and teaching them it should be a part of their lives. There will be a day you don't have any control anymore. Now, some of you yield control to them when they're three, but for those of you that are still parenting and kind of yielding their lives and guiding their lives, there will be a day when they leave your household. And you know, if you've taught them God's house is important, it is likely they will remember it wherever they are. Verse 3 says, "The sparrow found a house and a nest for herself and her young at God's altar." Ethel Waters used to sing a song, and in the chorus she'd say, "I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me." You know, if God looks after the birds, and He does, and the birds have an awareness that they would draw close to God's house, and the Bible says they have and they did, that means that birds have the good sense to seek God's house. And shouldn't we have as much sense as a bird brain? Brother Jerry, how do you get in church? Ooh, I'm glad you asked. It is the same way you get to work. It is the same way you do anything that's important. It's the same way you go to all those doctor visits that you were so fond of, so many of you. You get up and you go. "Well, what if I don't feel like it?" Well, that is why you go to doctor's offices, I think. But you know, if you would go to work, shouldn't you go to God's house? Shouldn't it be that important to you? "Blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will be ever praising you." Our signs as you come into to our property say, "Welcome home." We want church to be a welcoming place for you. We want it to be like home. Some come now and then, and they do, and I wish they would come more, but some just are drift in, drift out. But some of you, in fact, many of you, when the doors are open, you're coming home. And you are pleased in coming home. And in honesty, when we're not home, we kind of miss it. Fall in love with Jesus, and soon you'll have a passion to be in God's church. There's a passion. There is power. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. They're going to the temple. Now, every Jew had to go to the temple at least once a year, and they would go up to the temple because you had to go up to the temple. And as they went up to the temple, there were some dangers along the way. There were some problems in the travel. And so they would go from a fortified city to a fortified city, from strength to strength. Those fortified cities were walled cities. And they could go there and they could be safe and they could refresh and they could get ready for their journey to the next walled city. And so they went from strength to strength, and that empowered them to get all the way to God's house. As you seek to live in this old world, there are dangers along the way. I don't know what's been going on in your life this week. Some of you have had some real hardships. Some of you have had some great difficulties. Some of you have spent time in emergency rooms. Some of you are struggling with particular issues, and you haven't felt that you could share those yet, and they weaken you. What do you need, my friend? You need strength. Where do you find it? In God's house. We have a midweek service. We have Sunday. We have a midweek service. We have people that are here during the week doing other things, honoring God. But, coming to God's house is a fortified city. It is a strength point to get you to where God wants you to be. In verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The valley of Baca is a valley of weeping. It is a hard place. It is a difficult place. And some of you are in that place right now. You need to come to God. You need to get in God's house. And God can take your tears and he can make it a well. He can actually refresh you having gone through the difficulty. He can make you stronger having gone through a hardship than if you had not had that hardship. I can't explain that. I just know it's true. Following God is how that works. How can tears be made a well and a blessing in your life? Verse 8, hear my prayer. Do you remember when Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer? When you tie yourself to God's people in God's church, you've got people that pray for you. We have people that pray. That is the strong point of any church. That is the strongest point of our church. Praise God for our people that pray. When you get involved in a Bible-believing, Bible-following, Bible-praying, Bible-loving church, what you'll find is when the hardships come, God's got your back. And so does your church family. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. You are strengthened and you get power from God's house. You have a shield that protects you by prayer. Listen, we have ladies that come here on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and they walk. Now, physically, they're walking, laps around the room. 22 laps. 22 laps is a mile. And so you can come, and you can walk, and you can lap. But the most important thing they do is pray. We have a group of men and a group of women that for years have been meeting in our foyer on Sunday mornings, and they pray. I praise God for the praying people of Northside Baptist Church. You are why I'm in business. Without your prayer, I certainly would not be here. Now, if you're praying that I wouldn't be here, that's a whole different thing. But you know, it is by the prayer of God's people that we are strengthened. And I hear people say, well, you know, I could tell y'all were praying. God is our shield. God protects us. God seeks to move us forward. Now, the psalmist is getting happy. Verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in your house, God, than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You remember those followers of Korah? You remember Korah got upset. He couldn't have the top job, and so he was upset. These are people that are left in his family. And these people that are left in his family that did not follow him on that day, you know what they're doing? They're gatekeepers to God's house. And they are so excited that they get to be a gatekeeper in God's house. Listen, to serve God anywhere, any way is a blessing. They know it's better than what the world can give. You may think, you know, I don't want to go to church. I don't think I'll get anything. Let me tell you, you go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and you get God's Word. You get prayers of faithful believers. You get warm welcome. And in case you didn't know, we are family. You get a family. And you get a family that care. You get a family that prays. You get a family that's got your back. Sunday school is a prime place. You need to be there. Have you ever thought that one of the reasons God would have you in church is not because you're going to get something, but because he wants to use what's happened in your life to help somebody else? He wants to give through you. You didn't even know you had anything to give. Listen, some of those miseries that God's got you through, somebody else is in the middle of that. They need to hear God can get you through it. God can give you strength. God can bless you. You need to be in Sunday school, not just worship, Sunday school. By the way, we do Sunday school before we do this. And 9:15 is our appointed time for Sunday school. And I know a lot of you have other times that are a little later than that. But you know, come and be a part of Sunday school. Well, I'm late. Come on anyway. You'll join right in. And you know, you will be a different person. I'm thankful for people that just come to worship. I am. But it will make a difference in your life if you come to Sunday school and worship. We have people that do all kinds of things. They're never on a platform, but they do all kinds of things for the Lord. We have those ladies that walk and pray. We have some that change diapers. We have some that fold papers. We have some that move chairs around. We have some that host meals. We have some that fill shoeboxes. We have some that sing. We have some that listen to children say memory verses. We have some that do work on our buildings, and we have some that help out on doing work on the homes of the needy. We have people that are up in our sound booth that make sure you can hear, whether you want to or not. We have people that manage a camera that puts out a signal. We've got a computer up there that helps that process too, and people that do that. We have people doing all kinds of things seeking to serve the Lord, and as they serve the Lord, they are blessed in it. In God's house, you will find passion. In God's house, you'll find power. And being in God's house will strengthen you for whatever comes this week. You need to go back and get filled up again for what comes next week. And then in God's house, you find preparation in verse 11. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God is not only your shield. He is your sun. He is your light. He brightens the day and shows you where you need to go. God will use his church to funnel his grace into your life so you can do things you never thought you could do. You can be blessed as you never thought you would be blessed. God can work through you and you didn't even know it was possible. This is God giving you his ability to be victorious. God, listen, you don't think you have the ability. That's okay. God gives the ability. And when God empowers you and gives you the ability, he grows in you a ministry. That ministry points people to Jesus. By the way, if you think you got a ministry and it's not pointing people to Jesus, you got a broken ministry. Our ministries have to lift up Jesus. Everything we do has to lift up Jesus. He must be lifted up. He must be everything, and we must become nothing, and he must be exalted, and we can decrease. God gives you what you need, and it really is amazing. You come into God's house, you know, you hear the preacher. You know, you don't know what he's going to talk about. He's probably going to say something about Jesus, but you know, really, you really don't know. And somehow when you come and you're praying for God to meet your needs, God will take whatever is said, and I mean that, whatever is said. It may not be on your topic, but God will make it on your topic. Now, how does he do that? He's God, you know? That's how he does that. It is a miracle. I, in my feeble way, prepare messages from God's word. I never know who's going to be in the room. I don't know what the problems are. I don't know what's been going on in your life this week. And yet the one who's sharing with me what to write down does. And so sometimes it comes out like I've been reading your mail. But I haven't. I promise I haven't. Sunday by Sunday, I will hear somebody say, "Brother Jerry, that message was just for me." And you know, that's exactly what I think as I sit down on a desk and pray and write it out. It was just for me. And God has a way of multiplying his word to touch the hearts of people, to prepare them for what's coming at them. Oh, we won't go to church today. It's not that important. We won't miss anything. What if you miss exactly what you need for what's coming at you this week? I don't know about you. I don't want to miss a word from God. I don't want to miss God's grace. I don't want to miss God's glory. Sometimes the glory just falls. And I want to be here. It's time to be serious about getting back to church. And by that, I mean you decide ahead of time. In fact, you need to decide today, if God gives me breath and ability, I'm going to be in God's house till Christmas. That's not long. Just make that commitment. I'm going to be there every Sunday till Christmas. Now, you may have something come up that pulls you away, and we've got the way for you to stay in touch if that happens, but you're just making the commitment as long as God gives you the opportunity, you'll be in God's house till Christmas. And then at Christmas, give God another present and stretch it out. But God will have an opportunity to work in your life and work in the lives of others through you. It's time to get back in church if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, really love Jesus, you got to be in God's house. Now, you don't have to be in this church, but you need to be in a church. I learned a while back that God doesn't let everybody go to the best church in town. But you need to be in a church. Don't hand me this, "Well, I'm not coming there, but I'm still following God." Well, where are you going? Oh, well, I'm not going anywhere. Wrong. Listen, you can follow Jesus and not be at Northside Baptist Church, but you cannot follow Jesus and not be in one of his churches. And if you're going somewhere, you might as well come here. And it's the real problem that you've never really given your heart to Jesus. Could it be that you've been going through the motions, but you've never really said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to come in and take my life, forgive my sins, and make me the person you want me to be. So you need to make a commitment to Jesus. And if you make a commitment to Jesus, then church is pretty easy. If you've never made that decision, you need to make it. In fact, you need to make it today. Well, you just come forward and say, I want Jesus. We know what that means. We will pray with you. Listen, we can't put Jesus in your life, but if you'll believe in Jesus, he will come in your life. And you will be saved this very day. You can be heaven bound today. You don't have to go today, but you'll know where you're going today. Would you come to Jesus? Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for our time together. I ask now that you would move in our hearts. There are some in this room that have never said yes to Jesus. They've pushed you away for whatever reason. They've never really said, I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus. Father, let this be the day. Let this be the moment. Let them come and say, I want Jesus, and let them be saved today. There are Christians in this room that need to recommit themselves to you. Some that need to commit themselves to your church. Father, just let them do that today. Some need to become part of our church family. Guide them to do that today. But Father, the ones we are so concerned about are those that do not have Jesus. Let them come today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you come as we sing?